now pleasure in asking Richard, please, to step forward and speak to us of what in the world is going on.
Well, I did have lots and lots of nice pictures this afternoon, this morning, but unfortunately created the presentation in a newer version of PowerPoint, which my 30-year-old laptop doesn't like. So anyway, have to use our imagination like little children do and see what we come up with. So what in the world is going on? Well, this was a question that I heard asked several times last year. I think it's fair to say that 2016 was a momentous year in terms of world events. Now, there were two major political earthquakes, which I think it's fair to say most people didn't predict, and that was Britain's decision to leave the EU and the decision by the American people to elect Donald Trump, a man with no political experience, to be their next president and leader of the free world. And I'd like to look at the events of 2016 in more detail in a moment. I think it's fair to say the 21st century has seen many momentous events which have prompted people to ask what in the world is going on. So I'm sure we'll remember all too well September the 11th, 2001 is a day which we will all never forget. Although it was around that date when the threat of Islamic fundamentalism was really announced to the world, it was around also before then. Since September the 11th, there's been lots of horrendous attacks taking place. On October the 12th, 2002, suicide bombers killed 202 people in Bali. On March 11, 2004, as I'm sure you remember, nearly 200 people were killed in Spain. And again, as I'm sure we all remember, in London on July the 7th, suicide bombers killed 56 people on trains and buses. And on July the 11th of the same year, bombs planted on the train system in Mumbai killed 209 people. And people really are on edge these days with the rise of the lone wolf ISIS attacks in Europe that we saw in 2015 and 2016. Germany, France and Belgium were all targeted by suicide bombers. And these lone wolf attacks are so frightening because intelligence agencies say they are so hard to identify and predict. The Brexit vote in June last year was something that not a lot of people expected. And I did have two really good pictures of Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage now, so just use your imagination when it comes up. I've heard it said that even Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage weren't expecting to win. And the question of what happens next is a cause of great concern for the UK and Europe. And again, I had a good picture of Donald Trump here, so use your imaginations again. Donald Trump's election was also a cause of great concern for the world. I watched his inauguration a few weeks ago, and the analysts were saying that never in US history has there ever been such a contrast between an outgoing and incoming administration. With Donald Trump as president, these are very worrying times for many people in the world. And we've seen that with the mass protests around the world against his immigration policies. And when these unpredictable events happen, we see the financial markets in crisis as currencies tumble due to the uncertainty surrounding these events. So these are very fearful and troublesome times in which we live. So what is going on and where will it all end? Well, the Bible tells us that it is God who rules in the kingdoms of men. The prophet Daniel says this to King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2 and verses 20 to 22. He says in verse 20 of Daniel 2, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons, he removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the secret and the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him." And then 2 Chronicles 20 verse 6, it's just one verse, I read it out quickly for you. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 6, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. So, basically, Donald Trump is president of the US because God has put him there to fulfill his purpose. It's not up to us to question why. Britain's leaving the EU because it's part of God's plan and purpose. God uses the nations of the world to work out and fulfill his plan and purpose for the earth, which is the return of Jesus and the establishment of God's kingdom here on earth. I'd just like to look at two prophecies from Scripture, which I think show God's hand in action in the kingdoms of men, and how he sets up and removes kings. And the first prophecy is to be found in Ezekiel chapter 29. And it's a prophecy concerning Egypt. Ezekiel 29 verses 13 to 15. Verse 13, yet thus saith the Lord God, at the end of 40 years will I gather the Egyptians from the people, whither they be scattered. And I will bring again the captivity of Egypt, and will cause them to return into the land of Pathros, into the land of their habitation, and they shall be there a base kingdom. It shall be the basis of the kingdoms, neither shall it exalt itself any more above the nations, for I will diminish them, and they shall no more rule over the nations. So, in these verses here, God is saying that Egypt will be brought low. It will be made a base nation because of the extravagant pride of Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh boasted of the strength of his kingdom, and ancient historians tell us that Pharaoh even boasted that not even God himself could dispossess him of the kingdom. The fact was that he had been put there by God, and now because of his arrogance, God was going to remove him. Now in the early verses of Ezekiel, of this chapter, Ezekiel tells Pharaoh that with as much ease as a fisherman catches a fish, God would send him and his people into captivity, and that Egypt would be brought low and devastated. They'll be taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians until the fall of the Chaldean Empire. Ezekiel then prophesies that Egypt would become a kingdom again, but that it will never regain its ancient political importance, and that over time it will become the basis of all kingdoms. And that is exactly what's happened. Egypt today is a base nation. It does not have the political importance that it had in its ancient times. The second prophecy is about the city of Tyre, which was a Phoenician city on the Mediterranean coast, which had a great hatred towards Israel. And because of this, God said it would be destroyed. And Ezekiel 26, and verses 2 and 3, it says that Tyre had triumphed over the destruction of Jerusalem. And because of this, God was now against them, and would use the great leaders of the world at that time to destroy them. So verse 2 of Ezekiel 26. Son of man, because the Tyrus has said against Jerusalem, aha, she's broken, that was the gates of the people, she's turned unto me, and shall be replenished, now she's laid waste. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causeth his waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus, and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her, and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord, and it shall become a spoil to the nations. So first of all, God used Nebuchadnezzar to destroy the mainland of Tyre. In verses 7 to 9 of chapter 26 it says, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings, from the north, with horses and with chariots and with horsemen and companies and much people. He shall slay with the sword thy daughters in the field, and he shall make a fort against thee, and cast them out against thee, and lift up the buckler against thee. And he shall set enemies of war against thy walls, and with his axes he shall break down thy towers. So in these verses, the prophet Ezekiel is saying that Nebuchadnezzar will conquer Tyre, and other nations would also fight against it. It will be made flat like the top of a rock. It will be a place for spreading nets. The stone and timber of Tyre will be thrown into the sea, and it will never be rebuilt. Now Ezekiel wrote this prophecy between 587 and 586 BC, and in 573 BC, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians began a 13-year siege of Tyre, which lasted from 586 to 573 BC. However, there was a little island off the coast of Tyre, and all the inhabitants fled with all their riches across to this island. So when Nebuchadnezzar eventually broke through the walls of Tyre, he found the city empty and left empty-handed. But notice in verse 3 of Ezekiel 26 how God says he will bring many nations against Tyre. In 332 BC, Alexander the Great conquered the island of Tyre and brought an end to the Phoenician Empire. Now he conquered it by throwing all the stone and timber that was left from the original site of Tyre into the sea and building a causeway across to the island. He took his army across and conquered the island. Tyre has never been rebuilt and is now a place where fishermen spread their nets. So here in the example of Tyre, we see God using nations of the world to fulfill his plan and purpose. So coming back to the present day, I think we can say all the momentous events that we've seen happening over the past few months and years are, in a sense, God moving his chess pieces into position. The events we see happening in the world are moving us ever nearer to the return of Jesus. Now, I mentioned already the rise in Islamic fundamentalism that we've seen during the first few years of the 21st century. In a speech to the Central Intelligence Agency a few weeks ago, President Trump stated that it was one of the greatest threats the world faced and promised to wipe ISIS from the face of the earth. But what is the root cause of this hatred that people like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, etc., has towards the United States and the West? Well, in an interview in 1998, Osama bin Laden stated why he hated the United States and the West so much. He said, "The American imposes himself upon everyone. Americans accuse our children in Palestine of being terrorists. Those children who have no weapons, never, not even reach maturity. At the same time, Americans defend the country, the state of the Jews, that has a policy to destroy the future of these children. We are sure of our victory against the Americans and the Jews, as promised by the prophet. Judgment shall not come until the Muslim fights the Jew, where the Jew will hide behind trees and stones, and the tree and the stone will speak and say, 'Muslim, behind me is a Jew, come and kill him.'" So the fact that Israel exists today and the Palestinians have been forced out of what they perceive as their own land is one of the main reasons behind this hatred. But the fact that Israel exists today is proof that God is in control in the kingdoms of men. The Palestinians claim that the land of Israel is theirs, but God has clearly stated whose land it is. God promised the land of Israel to Abram and his descendants. In Genesis chapter 13, in verses 14 to 16, it says, Genesis 13, verse 14, "And the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." Now, again, I did have a chart to put up here which showed the descendants of Abraham. which I can't really explain. It's a bit difficult. I'm just trying to look at my notes, but I can't really explain. But what we can basically say is that the problem lies in the fact that Abraham is the father of both the Jews and the Arabs. Both the Jews and the Arabs consider Abraham to be the father of their nations. But the seed that God is speaking of in these verses is clearly the Jewish race. The promises of God were made to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And we read of these promises in Genesis 12 verse 5, Genesis 15 verse 5, Genesis 17 verses 5 to 8. Let's just read Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 to 5, where God speaks of these promises to Abraham. Genesis 12 verse 1. Now the Lord has said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, Lot his brother's son, all their sons that they had gathered, the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And then jumping on a couple of chapters to Genesis 15, verses 4 and 5. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto Abram, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. He said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And finally, jumping on two more chapters to Genesis 17, and verses 5 to 8, where God says to Abram, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, I will make nations of thee, kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So what promises from God to Abram do we find in these verses? Well, firstly he says, I will make of you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, in you shall all families of the earth be blessed, that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars of heaven, and he was to receive an everlasting promise and a very special descendant. So all of God's promises were made through Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Jacob actually changed his name to Israel, and Jacob's sons were the foundation for the 12 tribes of Israel. And the very special descendant that was promised to Abraham was the Lord Jesus. So God's answer is that the land of Israel belongs to the Jews. It was God who scattered the Jews from their land in around the period AD 135. And it was God who brought the Jews back to their own land of Israel in 1948. They did not do it of their own accord. It was God working in the kingdoms of men to fulfill his plan and purpose for the earth. In Deuteronomy 28, on verses 64 to 67, it says, Deuteronomy 28, verse 64, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of heaven, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods. which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Will God it were even, at even thou shalt say, Will God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. As we know, the Jews wandered and suffered greatly for nearly 2,000 years, but none more so than during the horrific events of the Second World War, when nearly 6 million Jews were murdered. And those words we've just read in Deuteronomy 28 describe the Holocaust perfectly. Now, the Second World War, as we know, saw some of the darkest days in human history. But as we read in Daniel, as we read in Daniel, God sets up kings and he removes kings to fulfill his plan and purpose, and that means good and bad kings. So the leaders during the Second World War were most likely put there by God to fulfill his plan and purpose, which included the restoration of the State of Israel 3 years after the end of the Second World War. And in Ezekiel 38, God prophesies of the restoration of Israel. Ezekiel 37 and verses 12 to 14. Ezekiel 37 verse 12, Therefore prophesying, saying to them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. It is important to us that the nation of Israel has been reborn, because God tells us in the Bible that when we see Israel reborn and flourishing as a nation, then the return of Jesus and the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth is very near. Now in the Bible, Israel is often referred to as the fruit on the fig tree. And in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus gives his Mount Olivet prophecy. He tells us of the problems and the things that will happen in the world before he returns. And in verse 32, he speaks of the fig tree, Israel. Matthew 24 and verses 32 and 33, where Jesus says, Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Jesus is saying here that when you see Israel reborn and flourishing as a nation, then know that my return is very near. Jesus will return to the earth very, very soon to establish God's kingdom here on earth. We can have 100% certainty that this will happen, because the Jews have survived, the nation of Israel has been reborn, and just like the fig tree in summer, is now a flourishing nation. But as we know, Israel has many enemies, and Bible prophecy tells us that some very difficult times lie ahead for the nation of Israel. We're told that in the very near future, God will bring all nations against Israel to battle. Israel will be defeated, and they will be taken captive. God will then send his son, the Lord Jesus, back to the earth to save his chosen people and establish his kingdom here on earth, a kingdom which we can all be part of if we are baptized into the saving name of the Lord Jesus. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus says to his disciples, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So if you want to be part of God's plan for the future, there are three important things we all need to do. We need to accept the true teachings of Jesus, be baptized into his saving name, and live a life that is pleasing and acceptable to God. So in conclusion then, what in the world is going on? Well, as we looked at this morning, it is God who rules in the kingdoms of men. He setteth up kings and removeth kings. We can have the utmost confidence that, although the world seems in a mess, God is in complete control. He uses the rulers and nations of this world to carry out his will and his plan and purpose for the earth, which, as I've said, is the establishment of his kingdom. A kingdom where there will be no more sorrow, no more sighing, no more problems, no more turmoil, and even death itself will be done away with. The eternal paradise here on earth. So what a great hope for the future God is offering us. So as we see the troublesome and turbulent events of the world happening around us, let's always remember what God has in store for us. Going to the final book of the Bible, Revelation 21 and verses 1 to 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, he will dwell with them, they shall be his people, God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
Well, thank you, Richard, and you did pretty well to say we didn't have nothing to look at. Right then, before we close this service, we have just a few announcements to make. First of all, that next Sunday in this hall at the same time, 10:30, the subject is entitled Amazing Facts About Jesus. And the speaker on that occasion is a Mr. Capper from Blackpool. At our associate meeting room, that's at Salt Hebel, their meeting next week begins at 5:30. And...